5:35 on a Wednesday afternoon. Toronto Mayor John Tory joins the broadcast. Nice to have you, sir.
Hey, guys.
Let's start off. We get this question a lot, and I was right to go with my gut. We're hearing a lot more about GTA clinics closing due to a vaccine shortage. Have you been in touch with the Premier at all about what we may be doing to get more of these vaccines in people's arms? I even heard Chief Medical Officer of Health in Toronto, Dr. Davila, talking about this. Is it as simple as picking up the phone, or what's that process look like?
No, it's not that simple because I guess, you know, it's one of those things where we don't necessarily have complete visibility on kind of what vaccine sits where. But as you know, from the beginning of all this, the federal government acquires the vaccine, distributes it to the provinces, who in turn distribute it to us. And so, yes, I have talked to the Premier about this, and I've indicated that in order for us to, you know, adequately deal with our hotspots in particular, which we're trying to place a priority on, and in order to help reach the goal that he set of having 40% of Ontarians vaccinated by the end of the current public health orders, I think that's on May the 5th, that, you know, we need to, you know, keep getting vaccine. And we need it as well just because we've got obviously places where we're falling short, like the hospitals. Now, we don't control the vaccine supply to the hospitals, you know, but I'm just saying that we, the City of Toronto, Team Toronto, because we're operating as a team here, hospitals, the city, run clinics, you know, all the rest, we need increases in the supply of vaccine.
You know, it's interesting, and I heard Dr. Davila say something interesting today as well, and maybe you could put some light on this for people who might not understand the whole process. There aren't just vaccines sitting in a freezer somewhere or in a fridge somewhere, you know, just not with a name attached to them. Can you tell people how that works? Because I thought her comments today were really interesting on it.
Well, the federal government, of course, supplies vaccines as they arrive in the country, and they do a division as between provinces. Then the provincial government does a division as between communities in Ontario, and so Toronto gets its share, Peel gets its share, Kingston, Ottawa, and so forth. And then they get delivered to, we do an internal delivery within the City of Toronto once a week, so that at no point in time, for example, is there some huge stockpile that people have, you know, and this is what Chief Pegg dealt with today, at no point in time is there some huge stockpile sitting somewhere where we've got, you know, weeks of supply. We get our Pfizer vaccine, for example, which is exclusively what is used in our city-run clinics once a week on Monday. And that's how we set the number of appointments we're giving out for that week, is that we have confirmed to us how much vaccine is coming. And so we don't schedule appointments for which we don't, you know, we're not pretty much sure we're going to have vaccine. And then the hospitals are dealt with differently, and the hospitals have by and large been using the Moderna vaccine, and as you know, there was a delay in some of the shipments to Canada of the Moderna vaccines, and so what we will get is a bit of a look ahead in the coming 3 or 4 weeks, and they'll say, well, the Moderna shipment you thought you might have on May the 1st is now going to be delayed till May the 5th, and we get notes like that that come from the province in our case. So it's a very complicated logistical undertaking. It is affected by external considerations, you know, such as delays from the manufacturers, and it can be adjusted by the other two governments who may decide they need to send more here and less there.
Now, I know this is a provincial thing that the Premier was commenting on today, as was the Prime Minister, but I'm curious, because we're all going through the same thing, especially municipally, your thoughts when you hear this from the Premier?
We're encouraging all residents of each province to stay at home, not to be flying into Ontario or flying out of Ontario. It's just not the time to do that. Folks, please stay at home. We're in a critical situation right now, and I just can't emphasize that enough.
Well, I mean, I think he's been responding there, both of them were, to the fact that there are severe outbreaks in British Columbia, and I think it's a different variant in British Columbia that's not even really here, and so there's a concern about that, and there's probably a concern in British Columbia about Ontario. But, you know, it's interesting. I found myself more concerned, maybe because I am the local leader of the city here, at the amount of traffic. I just heard on your traffic report them saying the parkway was slow to a crawl from Dundas to the 401. Well, that's the way it is normally when everybody is going to work. And so I'm wondering to myself, like, if people are staying home from work and trying to work from home as they've been, you know, not only asked to do, but I guess the provincial stay-at-home, you know, order sort of requires that, you know, is that actually happening? And so I don't know the answer to that question, because that tends to be of a greater concern to me than whether people are going to Vancouver or not or to Montreal.
So I guess then a logical follow-up question to that one would be, if we do end up having travel restrictions interprovincially, are you at all worried about people that won't be leaving the province this summer and will be actually traveling more within, you know, the region?
No, because I think, look, if we haven't got a handle on this thing by the summer, then, you know, anybody going anywhere will be of concern. But if you're implying that people take more of their holidays here and will be traveling from here to, you know, to a Grey County or something and might take the virus with them, or vice versa, I don't think so. That's a current issue, because I think people are doing some degree of interregional travel now, although it's not as prevalent as it was at a time when shops were open, say, in York region, and they're not open here. So, you know, these are things where we're going to have to take it one day at a time, just because what we hope is, if people follow the public health orders and if the vaccination process is able to ramp up the way we want it to, and we're doing okay. We've got 800,000 doses that have been administered in the city of Toronto alone, but we need to do a lot better than that. And if we do all that and follow the rules, you know, between now and even just the beginning of May, we can have this thing really, you know, well in hand by the summer, and we won't have to worry as much about these things.
Not a month goes by that we don't get into a pitched battle, the two of us, about finding a new police chief in this city. I know yesterday the public consultations wrapped up. Do you have any update as to where we are in that process now that those are behind us?
Well, the public consultations wrapped up, but we haven't received the report. They wrapped up yesterday, so they'll write us a report to the police board. As we discussed when we previously talked about this, that report will help us with the description of the person, or finalizing the description of the person that will lead to the list that will be put together by the search firm, and then you begin to interview people. So we're still on the timetable that we've talked about before, which is that, you know, and I've said before, and I'll say it again, and I don't think it'll change between now and the next time you ask, which is that we would not expect to have a police chief in place before the fall of this year, because it takes that long to, you know, put together the list, to interview the candidates, to then take it down to a short list, to, you know, go through all the different things you go through. And the public consultation, I continue to defend, notwithstanding your misgivings about it, Ryan, as being something that was demanded by the community, and we said yes, but also I think will prove to be quite useful just in terms of what the public's expectations are. And this person has to be trusted by the public.
Will I get to read the report? Is that going to be made public?
Oh, I would think so. I mean, these things are all, you know, should be public documents. I can't think of why this wouldn't be.
Fair enough.
It seems like every day we're getting more and more pictures, public pictures posted on social media of crowded buses. We keep hearing about, you know, employees at Amazon leaving their shifts, packing onto buses. At the same time, we have ridership down in other parts of the city. Would it not be more logical to get some enforcement officers on those buses that we know are on crowded routes to just say to people, listen, we know you got to get to work, but we're not having 60 people, 70 people on this bus?
Well, you could do that. What we have done is, when I thought where you were going was that from other parts of the city, we've transferred all kinds of buses, and we have done that onto some of the busier routes where people have to go to work, and they're still utilizing those buses almost maybe as much as they would be in non-pandemic times. We've also retrained a bunch of streetcar drivers to be bus drivers so that there could be extra drivers to drive those buses. And we find, because we keep careful track of this, that the majority of those buses, the vast majority of the time, have 25 or less passengers on them, not 65 or 70. And they literally keep statistics of all this, and they watch very carefully the capacity of the buses on the routes that they're the busiest, the Jane Streets and the Finches and the Dufferins, these buses. So, you know, I'm not sure we can ever arrive at a perfect state on this, but we're very aware of it and aware of the fact that these people have to go to work, and then we need to try our very best to keep them safe. And, you know, yes, the pictures keep appearing, but we've been making a really solid effort at this all the way through, and it's something that's very high on the priority list of the CEO of the TTC. I asked him about it as recently as this past Monday.
Very quickly, at 7:10:10, this question just came in. It's on top of mind. I've seen it a couple of times today from different phone numbers. Any idea when swimming pools may be open again for kids to play in? I get that it's April, but that's got to be part of the planning right now, no?
This is the outdoor pools we're talking about, I assume. They normally don't happen until into, I think, June, because I've gone to the opening each year. And
right.
I will ask about that, because normally they wouldn't be open for some time yet, and it's mostly weather-dependent. But, you know, it's an interesting idea. We had them subject to quite a few restrictions in the, you know, last year because of, you know, you had to make an appointment, you swam for 45 minutes, there were certain numbers of people in the pool. But I'll ask if it could be moved up, because you're right, that's a healthy outdoor activity that's subject to those restrictions people could do.
Toronto Mayor John Tory, as always, we thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Stay safe, sir.